then I'll do the introduction.
Well, you're better at it.
I guess so. Right through my sinus infection, which is a lot of fun, by the way. All right, everybody. Welcome to episode number...
10.
Where are we at?
We're 10. On 10.
Number 10. Number 10 of Three Drinks In. I'm your host, Vince.
And I'm Phil.
And that's Phil over there. And thank you for joining us. Just a bit of business as we start. You can always find us at threedrinksinpodcast.com. The number 3 Drinks In Pod on Twitter, or rather at the number 3 Drinks In Pod on Twitter. And on Facebook, you can like us there. So please go and do all those things right now, and then come back and listen to the rest of this podcast. So, yes, I've got a bit of a sinus infection, so my voice is a little bit weaker than it oftentimes has been. So, that sucks. I'm on the antibiotics.
Those are good.
Yeah, they work. I just, my head feels like it's about to fucking explode. And that's been like literally a week of this now. Yeah. I've been sick for a week since I was 12.
Yeah.
So, it's sort of throwing me off. All the bad weather we've had in the Northeast is just totally fucking with
me. It's winter time, so.
Yeah. Like, I haven't gotten sick where they went, oh, you need to get antibiotics. And I'm like, I do?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's all over the place. The weather is all over the place here, too. It's 67 today. A few days ago, it was like 35.
66. It's warmer today. I finally managed to get some of the ice off of our mother's driveway. It's three inches thick of ice.
Oof.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. All right, so we're here right now waiting for the one and only Kristen Bell to show up. It's very exciting. She's one of the stars of the movie Frozen.
Frozen.
Which everybody has seen.
Yeah, at this point.
Literally everybody has seen this movie. And if you haven't seen the movie, you've heard the anthem, the theme song from Frozen on the YouTube.
Is it on the YouTube?
The YouTube. So, we're also going to be discussing the Lego movie.
Yeah.
Which was a lot of fun. I couldn't get a star for that one, but I figured Miss Bell might have some things she might want to add to the discussion.
Well, everybody loves Legos.
Everybody loves Legos. So. That's true. Absolutely everybody does. So we're waiting. She's not here yet.
Right.
Busy gal, you know. But, so she'll be here eventually.
Yeah, so we might as well just start.
Yeah. So you saw
the Veronica Mars movie.
What was that? I missed that.
Busy with the Veronica Mars movie.
They're making a movie of that?
Ugh, where have you been, dude?
I don't really. I've been sick.
Okay. Yes, they're making a movie. It was like a Kickstarter campaign.
Can you explain to me what that is? Because I hear talks about that on the webs, and I have no idea what's going on.
Kickstarter is it's like a website where you put up a project you're doing, and you just raise money for it. So it's to kickstart your job, you know, show, whatever you want to do.
It's a site that funnels money to you?
Yeah, it's like a fundraising site.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah. And they started a Start a Veronica Mars movie Kickstarter. So, like, a lot of the movie was, you know, funded by people donating, like, fans. Like, you know, and it only worked for this because I think Kristen Bell wasn't doing anything. You know, it was like, yeah, I guess we could do that. And, I mean, you couldn't
it's
do
like
that
the
with,
saddest
like,
thing I've ever heard, though. Like,
well, you couldn't do it with Firefly or anything like that.
Well, I remember they were asking... what's his name? Nathan Fillion about that because there was a tremendous amount of interest in fans and they're making the Firefly TV show again, and he had said on I think it was the Nerdist podcast he was like please don't do that, if you have money to donate don't give it to us to make a TV show that's not going to get made. Give it to cancer research.
Yeah, give it to charity and stuff.
Well,
he's right.
Yeah, so that's why I was surprised. Like, oh, well, they're going to make a Veronica Mars movie based off of some bunch of horny jackasses with no pants in their parents' basement wanting to see more Kristen Bell.
Yeah. And you know, so that's Kickstarter. If you ever wanted to start your own, God, I don't even know. your own web, your own podcast,
or restart somebody else's career, you can donate something to Kickstarter.
I mean, she's doing okay now, but I wonder how much of that was because of the Kickstarter for Veronica Mars.
That's hilarious. Well, anyway, she's not here yet, but we'll start talking about Frozen, I guess. How long ago did you see Frozen?
2 weeks.
Okay.
A week and a half. It was recently, and it was in February, and the movie's been out since November.
Yeah, because I saw it back then. It was out a long time ago.
Yeah, and I was like, probably the movie theater won't be crowded. I might as well go see it while it's out. And the place was packed. I was like, oh, my God. I had so many. I mean, it was mostly kids.
Yeah.
You know, at least I didn't go by myself, but then I'd be like the creepy old uncle. But it was packed. There were tons of kids there.
Yeah,
and they loved it. Oh, man.
They do. They really, really enjoy this movie a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, really more than I think is necessary.
Yeah, and it's quite a phenomenon that this movie is such a big deal.
Well, let's talk about that, because I think that the success of the film is somewhat disproportionate to its quality.
Yeah.
Like, it's not bad. There are parts of it that are just hilarious. You know, the snowman who loves warm hugs and wants to know what summer is like.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like the moose was hilarious, and like, it was a real character. It wasn't just like a goofy animal.
Oh, the moose?
Yeah, like the moose had a lot of personality, I thought.
Yeah, well, the reindeer, yeah.
Oh, right, reindeer.
Right. Well, whatever, yeah.
It's just a hairier moose.
The anthropomorphic creature. Sidekick, you know.
So it's based on it's Hans Christian Andersen, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Who's also known for lots of fables, including The Little Mermaid, also a wildly successful Disney feature film.
Yeah,
and
kickstarted the Disney Renaissance.
Indeed, it did, and. Yeah, the original story is a bit different. It's more of a love story. I'm told this is what my wife told me a little while ago, and it's like the evil queen is evil the whole time, and this she's not. So, like, what worked for this movie? Would you say?
Well, for those unaware. The plot is these two sisters, and one of them has magic ice powers that she's just born with. And ever since she's a little kid, she can't control it. She accidentally hurts her sister. And they're like, oh, you got to keep these ice powers under wraps. And she just can't. She just cannot handle it. So the sisters they're very close, but they grow up and they're not as close anymore because the sister with the ice powers shuts herself away. Parents die. Girl has to become the queen. And then when she becomes the queen, you know, the ice powers get out of control and everyone's afraid of her, and she runs off and shuts herself away. And the other sister, who's normal, goes after her. And that's the whole plot of the movie.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, what worked? Well, you know, the animation was amazing. All the characters looked like, if you ever saw Tangled, Disney did that as well. It kind of looked like the same kind of characters. Big eyes, you know, that kind of thing. Because it's all 3D animation. Kristen Bell was very good. The snowman was great, of course. He was funny.
Josh Gad is the awkward snowman.
He's like the snowman that comes to life from their imagination. And he likes summertime because he doesn't know what it is. You know. It was funny. Not like overly funny, like the humor kind of disappears after a while, and the movie gets kind of serious. But I don't know. It was just okay. Like I don't know what the big deal is about this one.
Yeah,
I don't think it was as good as Tangled was.
No, I don't really think so either. Yeah, I think Tangled had a much sort of stronger, because you made the point, I think. In your blog, I can't remember.
Could be
that the film has no villain.
Yeah,
it has a couple of guys who are trying to take over the kingdom, but like in sort of a like you know backdoor Congress type of way.
Yeah, well, it was like a last minute spoilers. The last minute twist, where the prince that the young sister is gonna marry, He's just doing it because he wants to be king of some country. Because when he has like 10 brothers or something, he says
13. Yeah. He's like one of 13 or something.
So he's like, oh, yeah. I'm never going to be a king. I might as well just marry you and like get rid of her. And it came out of nowhere at the end. I was like, okay.
Well, it was obvious that he was too good to be true from the beginning. Like he meets her and it's like, boom, wow, we're in love. And it was so kind of like, and she was so looking for it that it was like, there's something funny about this guy.
Right.
I wasn't too surprised that was a twist that they decided to throw in there.
And I mean, that kind of thing didn't feel real to me. If you want to talk about things that like why the story is not as good as say like Tangled or a traditional, it wasn't a traditional story. So there was no villain, you know, they kind of just, it's all about the two sisters, and one feels rejected, and that's hard to, you know, I mean, she has ice power, so you can dramatize that with, you know, she shoots ice everywhere, and she makes a mean snowman, too. But it's hard, because, like, there's a lot of times where the sisters just meet each other, and it's like, I love you, oh, well, I can't be near you, and they just sort of go back and forth, and then, you know, they don't fight, they don't hate each other. So it's hard to dramatize that. And also, like, it wanted to be funny, but a lot of it was making commentary. So, like, the young sister falls in love with that guy, like, immediately. You know, yeah. like a typical Disney thing. Like, oh, I love him now after, like, a day. And he asks her to marry her. And so you're like, I guess they're playing with that convention. But at the same time, you know, she really is convinced that she loves him, and everyone looks at her like, what are you, nuts? So, like, it doesn't quite mesh. You're like, because she buys into it, but the other characters don't. I'm like, are we making fun of this or not here? Like, pick one, you know? So he comes off as too good to be true, but the whole movie's like that, where, like, they are in their own fairy tale thing, and it plays out like a fairy tale, whereas the rest of the movie isn't. So
there is this sort of like grounded aspect of life in their kingdom, which is sort of straightforward, and you know, but then there's this whole mystical element that's very separate from the rest of it. Like, why does she have magic powers?
Yeah,
never explained. Does anybody else have magic powers?
It's never explained why she has magic powers.
And like they go and they talk to the talking rock people.
Yeah,
and they go, "Oh, she's got magic," and they go, "Yeah, that's why we're here, dumbass."
Yeah, and like, you know, the parents of the girl, like, they see the rock people, and like, I thought they were gonna have to have like fight or something. I thought they like had to make a bargain. I was like, ooh, they're gonna have to ask the trolls for help and give something up. And the trolls were
give
all
us
cool
your other daughter.
Yeah, know, but like, the trolls were cool with it. I was like, oh, well, that was a quick scene.
Yeah, that I think that was there just to establish. No, I have no idea why they were there. I'm trying to think of a reason for them to be there. There was no reason for them to be there at all.
They were the exposition trolls.
Oh, the exposition.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I love those guys.
And they had, like, the worst song in the movie, too, when they come back later, and they do a little song
I don't remember it at all, actually.
Like, they go back for help, because when the sister gets hurt again as an adult, and she's traveling with, what's his name, Kristoff? He's, like, the bumbling guy with he has, like, a snow business. Yeah, like, he cuts ice.
Yeah, he makes ice.
Yeah, and then, you know, of course, the daughter's powers put snow everywhere. He's like, well, I gotta fix this, because my whole livelihood here. It's not supposed to be snowing in wintertime.
Yep, summertime.
Summertime, right. It's not supposed to be snowing in summertime. And all the trolls sing a song to the girl about him being like a fixer-upper.
Oh,
like,
yeah, right.
He needs a lot of work because he hangs out with a reindeer and he's really uncouth. And it's like, and I was like, but the song wasn't any good. I was like, oh, this is really awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so they throw like a love story in between the younger sister and Kristoff, which it was a nice twist at the end. But
and it wasn't the focus. It didn't take over the film, which is the one sort of thing that I kind of appreciated, that they sort of kept it sort of, you know, static, in that like it didn't become something it wasn't. It wasn't a story about people falling in love. It was
a two sisters tale.
Yeah, and it wasn't about much, but what it was essentially truthful throughout the entire.
Right, the entire that's a good. Thing. I mean, not about much. That's kind of a good phrase. Not enough to carry a whole movie.
No.
Like, it doesn't justify all the action that happens.
Because quite a lot of bit of action does. Everyone after that, and there's the ice monster, and everyone is, you know. Yeah, there wasn't really a lot that went on. I mean, the biggest thing this movie has going for it is this the song.
Yeah, Let It Go.
Yes. Now, my wife is a huge fan of Idina Menzel, who is the voice of both the speaking voice and the singing voice of Elsa. She's one of the most popular Broadway actresses around now. Right. She was,
and Elsa is the queen with the ice powers.
Yeah, the ice queen.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this thing is just freaking everywhere. Every
is it
kid
really?
Is.
Because I don't know.
Every kid is covering it and putting it on YouTube. Like, people are you know, videotaping their 3-year-old singing this song.
Oh,
and
God,
it's
really?
Just, it is everywhere. And there's what I find amazing
I
is
like this song.
No,
if you couldn't tell by my groans.
Yeah, I mean, what they even have Demi Lovato, who is. I don't know who she is. She's one of these, you know.
She's someone.
You know, genetically engineered, you know, teen singer people. And she has a cover that Disney released alongside the cover, the version that, you know, is from the actual film.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just fucking everywhere. And it's not a bad song. It's just, I don't particularly care for this kind of Broadway style of singing, which is very Ethel Merman. Yeah, you know, it's not, you know, very nasally, and it was a style of singing that was big in the, you know, in the 40s and 50s and 60s and, you know, back when they made things like, you know, Guys and Dolls and Anything Goes.
It's a big, like, empowerment song. Like, the girl runs
anthem.
Yeah, the girl runs off. I can't be with these people. I need to shut my powers away. And then she realizes, well, I can do amazing things with my ice powers if I just let it go. And she has, like, this big song, and she makes her own ice castle. And her hair gets, like, you know, she throws her hair out of a bun, and she changes her conservative-looking dress. I just felt so Disney Channel. I was like, oh, man. It's,
yeah.
Like, it's girl power, you know, and I get that, sort of, because I'm a man, but...
I mean, and that, as my wife pointed out, is really their focus here. Like, that's who they're marketing the film for,
right?
Yeah, because that's, I mean, because she said this is who they make these films for. They don't care about boys as much. You know, it's just the money is not there. The money isn't with, like, the Girl Scout troops who go and see it and things like that.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, especially Disney with their Disney Princess line. I mean, they really are big on that. Because even though a lot of women my age would say, I don't need that bullshit, and I'm not going to let my girl talk about Disney princesses, listen to your daughters, everyone. They want to see this stuff.
Yeah.
They like this stuff. And this is a good example of how you can show where a movie, they don't need to get the guy in the end. It's a nice bonus. Mm-hmm. I mean, the girl at the end, you know, she goes out with that Kristoff guy. You know, they're not, like, going to get married the first day. You know, but the movie's about two sisters, and it's about, you know, being true to yourself and empowerment, and girls like that, and that's great. I'm a boy, and I thought it was a little too in your face. It was just in your face, you know. But that's what the movie is big on that, and it's people are going for that, and people are still going to see it. I mean,
what I find really interesting is I read this article that somebody had posted on Facebook from the Huffington Post.
Oh, my God. The Huffington Post.
Yeah, which, for those of you who don't know, is a sort of wildly left-wing news organization run by Arianna Huffington. And they had linked to a woman, a woman's blog, and this woman is apparently, she's a Mormon. And she's fairly conservative.
Hmm.
And... what was interesting about it, and we were just talking about how there sort of isn't a lot of plot to sustain the weight of the film. And, I mean, because, like, between the battles and the unbelievably loud ballad singing, there's just not enough story there to kind of fill in all that time. And this woman apparently watched the movie and decided that it was a allegorical tale about homosexuality. And she said that, no, I didn't read the article because I knew the article about the blog was going to be somewhat, left-wing one-sided. So I actually went to the blog itself and I read it. And first of all, I have a blog. I've had a blog now for a few years. I don't know why people who have them feel the need to write 17 pages per post.
Yeah, well, I don't have that much to say about homosexuality in Frozen.
But. Well, even if I did, 1,000 words, that's kind of a lot already, you know. Anyway, but she basically overlaid this whole, concept she had that she thought the filmmakers were trying to put forth, where the ice powers were, the allegorical connection to homosexuality, and the parents are trying to shut her in, and then they're easily dispatched in some kind of storm, and she's told her whole life to never share who she is, and she gets miserable and sad about that.
But couldn't that be for anything?
That's the thing, is that, I mean, you could literally be, because there isn't a lot of story in the movie, you could put anything on top of that.
Right, I think that's why
it's a metaphor for just about anything. And so this woman went nuts.
Yeah, I think a lot of people that's why people really like it.
Yeah, it's because it's not really about anything, but it could be about anything.
Right.
Well,
you can put your own perspective on it, especially if you're a little kid. If you're a little girl, you are, boys too, but girls, they always feel like, oh, everyone's looking at me. I got to keep this to myself. That's a big thing.
Yeah. And I was somewhat disappointed that the first thing someone went to was that Hollywood is trying to indoctrinate your children thinking it's okay to be gay. That's really...
There is a gay guy in it, though. I don't know if you remember.
The guy in the store?
The guy in the store.
He's gay?
Well, there's a guy in the shop, then they go to buy supplies from him, and he, typical Norwegian, hello, welcome to Hans's shop of stuff, a Norwegian guy. And he says something about, my family, and you look, the camera glances over at the hot tub in the back, and it's, three little kids and a dude, and they all smile at the camera. And I'm like, is that his brother? Is that his uncle? Who is that guy?
You see, because this woman in the Mormon blog mentioned that.
Oh, and I caught it right away.
And it's been 3 months since I've seen the movie, and I guess I wasn't paying attention that much. And she said, when there's even a gay character. I'm like, that guy was gay? I'm thinking to myself, but yeah, apparently he was gay.
I mean, that's the only reference. I mean, it's not like he's got a rainbow flag on his chest, but it made me look up. I'm like, wait, what was that? Was that a dude in that hot tub, little kids?
Is it?
What?
I was is it a joke that his wife just looks kind of manly, like the dwarfs in Lord of the Rings?
Oh no, he was a big guy.
Oh, okay.
And so was the guy behind the counter. Like when he stood up, he was 9 feet tall because Norwegians are big. Yeah. So I mean, I don't know where that came from, but yeah. I mean, at least it didn't beat you over the head with it. So.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I thought that was sort of like a drawback to the whole, aspect of there really not being enough plot was that you can, any girl can sort of put their own personal stamp on it and take out of the film what they will, but so can a lot of people who are nuts. I mean, that one's crazy.
Yeah, and, well, that's...
And
that's
I'm not, I'm not left-wing. That's, I felt bad that her blog got blasted on a national left-wing
That's fucking
website.
The Huffington Post looking for a fight too.
Yeah,
sorry, Huffington Post, but you do that.
You do that.
Well, I mean, everybody has their own spin. I had a professor, not a professor. She was a teacher in high school, and she told me one time that I don't let my kid watch Beauty and the Beast because I don't want her to think that, she needs to find a man to be happy. She had a perfectly nice life in the little village. And she had to find a man to really... And I was just looking at her. I'm like, I think the plot of that or the theme of that one is that, beauty is more than skin deep. And, it doesn't matter what your true love looks like. That's just my interpretation of that one.
That's a bit of a stretch. And she didn't have a nice life in that village.
She hated it.
She was surrounded by a bunch of dullards.
Yeah, that was lunatic. She needed more. That was the point.
Yeah, and she found it in the, you know, in the reclusive billionaire's castle.
Yeah.
All of his books.
Yeah, and, the, you know, so, like, don't... Ugh. People have a funny way of looking at things, you know.
Well, speaking of things that, you know...
So yeah, I mean, I like Frozen. If you want,
I like Frozen too. I think its success is somewhat, you know, like I said, disproportionate to its quality.
Right. Well, I mean, I couldn't connect to it. It didn't have enough. It wasn't enough for me. It was fun. You know, it had nice music, not great music. The animation looked good, but
the animation was good.
Now, can we not connect to this movie because we're men, or is it just because of other things?
I think that's a large part of it.
Okay.
I think that, you know, it's a story about, you know, it was really a story for young girls. It's not even a story for older girls. I mean, it's easier for older women to appreciate it, I think, because they were at one point young girls.
Especially those that had sisters.
Yeah, and like CJ said, that was the first thing she wanted to do after when it was over, was go see her, with her little sister.
Yeah.
Who's not little, she's 18.
I mean, that's the big thing at the end, is the younger sister gets frozen by her older sister's ice powers. Even though she was about to sacrifice herself to save the older sister. And it's the act of true love that ends up breaking the magic spell, as opposed to, like, true love's first kiss, you know, kind of thing. Like, they didn't do that on purpose.
Right.
And I think it was stupid. Like, oh, it's true love. And then the girl gets control of her ice powers, like, no problem. I was like, oh, that was quick.
It's kind of a manufactured little like, the whole ice power thing was, like...
Right.
It sort of... I wish they had created a more sort of complete world around this whole thing. Like there was no depth to that aspect of the story.
Well, like the beginning of the movie and the end of the movie were real quick. Like they blew through exposition, and then at the end it all sort of wraps up. And in the middle where not much happens, it really drags.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, well, I'm gonna make room for the anthems, I guess. But yeah, I mean, that would have been nice. I mean, like Rapunzel and Tangled, they explain why her hair is that way, and it's important. That's important to the plot. And this one, they were like, well, it could be about anything. It's just in this, it's ice powers. We had to visualize it somehow.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I guess it's easier than having, like, fire powers and, like, setting everyone on fire. So.
Yes, that would be worse.
Yeah.
Harder to undo that at the end. And I think also that, like, the thing that Tangled had going for it was that it was just a little bit of explanation, like the little ray of sun, whatever it was, came down, landed on this plant,
yeah,
and like just that's all you really need, you know. As far as, and you could have come up with some reason why she has ice powers. It's, you know, she lives in Norway. Is
yeah,
the Aurora Borealis has got some kind of magical thing you could connect to there if you were just a little stronger with your storytelling.
Yeah, I like that Tangled had a villain in it. But it wasn't like a traditional type of villain. Like, she was also like the mother.
Yeah.
You know, and so you can...
Raises the stakes a lot.
Yeah, well, you can play with the conventions. You don't have to have Maleficent with the fire-breathing dragon and shit.
Yeah.
You know, but don't have no villain. I mean, if you go too far away from that stuff, the story comes apart, so...
Yeah.
But it was good. I enjoyed it.
I also thought that Kristen Bell, who's still not here yet, did a nice job singing. I didn't know she could sing.
Yeah, she's got a lot of... I didn't know it was Kristen Bell for a while.
Yeah, I actually thought that song was better than the anthem song. Right. Do You Want to Build a Snowman? I thought that was a really cute song, and it was well acted, too. That was one of the things about Let It Go, was that there's not a lot of acting going on in that song. She's just belting the song the whole time.
Yeah, that feels like very much a Broadway kind of, I'm going to stand here and the walls are going to shake while I sing.
Yeah. You know? And Do You Want to Build a Snowman? Really kind of, it tells a very long story.
Right. It's the beginning. It's the exposition part of the movie.
Yeah,
song,
and it's cute, and she runs around, she sings about the plates they have and chocolate, and I just heard it the other day. I was in the Disney store in Times Square yesterday, and I heard it in there. I'm like, oh, this is such a cute song. And yeah, so like there was certainly really interesting aspects to the movie, but just, you know, it's the phenomenon is what I find kind of amusing about it.
Yeah, that's, you know, sometimes you just strike something just strikes a chord with people. And it takes off like Twilight, you know. I don't know what the hell.
Well, vampire porn.
Yeah, I guess people were really in.
Really into that.
Yeah. It's one of those, we didn't know they were reading it at the beach type things, you know. Oh, it's cool to like this now? Finally. I don't have to keep putting like the fake cover of like mathematics over it, you know, when I'm out reading in public.
Oh, that's fucking funny. So we also saw the Lego movie.
Yeah, the Lego movie.
The Lego movie. Much anticipated, the Lego movie. Definitely, this is definitely a boys movie, I have to say. Yeah. This is a big jump to a boys movie.
What's great was I took my girlfriend to see it with me, and like when we went to see Frozen, I was like, I wish we could go see the Lego movie. And she was like, we're not seeing a movie about Legos. And they played a trailer for it right before Frozen. And then she's like, oh, I didn't know what it was. She's like, I thought it was like a long commercial for Legos, which it basically is. But like, she thought it was bullshit, and it turned out to be a real movie. She was like, oh, it looks like a real movie. I was like, yeah, I know. It looks awesome.
So
so she liked it. But I would say it's more of a boy action movie.
Yeah. So, what'd you think of it?
I really liked the Lego movie, despite myself. You know, it was funny. It had cute little characters. It had tons of old Legos. Like, the whole animation style is Legos. Everything.
Yeah. Yeah, they really moved them in that kind of blocky way.
Dust, water, lasers. They were all Lego pieces. Like, there was nothing real. I mean, it was all computer animation, but they do it like they're stop motion.
Yeah.
You know, and like when one of them falls like in the water and like little bits that are blue pop out. And like if you've ever played with Legos, you're like, oh my God, I remember those little bits, you know. And
There was little bits like that? I don't remember those.
Oh yeah, everything they had there was like a real Lego piece. If they didn't have a real Lego piece for it, they wouldn't put it in.
Get out of town.
Yeah. All right. They really did their homework on that.
Yeah. That's kind of what I thought, like with the fire and all the explosions.
Yeah, because it was a lot of explosions. They like spoof a lot of action movies and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, and again, really thin plot. Not a lot going on, but there was so much action.
Well, yeah, well, there was a lot of action, and it was quick.
Yeah, everything happened very quickly.
I had to keep blinking because I was like, I cannot follow this action. It was. It was hyperdrive action.
it was so over the top. It was
hilarious. Yeah. Like it was. I think it was. That's on purpose. That it was over the top. But it was like, whoa, what's going on? But I thought the plot was fine because it starts off where you're like, I can't believe I'm watching this movie about Lego pieces. Where there's this one character. His name is Emmett, and he's like
Emmett.
He's a generic construction worker Lego.
Emmett Brickowski.
Brickowski, who lives in Brickton. And,
is that what it is?
Yeah, he lives in Brickton. And all they do is follow the instructions of how to build Lego pieces. And like all the instructions are like little Lego pieces with cartoons on them, like pictures of them.
You know? Here's you.
Yeah, it's like a little kid drew it. And it turns out that the president, who's actually an evil genius, played by Will Ferrell, Lord Business.
That's Lord subtle. Business. That was what a great name.
He's going to use the power of the Kraggle to freeze Legos in place so that they can't be taken apart and rebuilt. And Emmett, the generic Lego piece, finds out that he has a magic piece of resistance that will stop the Kraggle from freezing everything. Because they think he's like... I know, it sounds ridiculous.
It's insane.
And so he teams up with Elizabeth Banks' Lego girl.
And Batman.
And...
Who's her boyfriend?
Her boyfriend is like Will Arnett plays Batman, and they had like it was made by Warner Brothers, so they owned all those characters. So they had like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Lego. They had
that was the best line in the movie when he's like doing roll call.
Oh yeah,
he says Michelangelo.
Yeah, Michelangelo the painter Lego is there.
And Michelangelo the Ninja Turtle.
Or they like confused Dumbledore and Gandalf, the two wizards. Like, they look almost the same in Legos. Yeah. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, the voice acting, they had a hell of a cast.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman played a character called Vitruvius. You know what that means? It's like Latin for he who builds or something. Like, I looked it up because I'm like, what kind of name is Vitruvius?
Yeah, I knew it had a sort of a significance there.
Yeah, you know, so they had... he's in all those movies where he murders people.
The guy plays Dexter?
Liam Neeson.
Oh, Liam Neeson. Those movies where he murders people.
Did you see the previews where he's on the plane?
Oh, God.
I'm like, wow, he's
taken
not even,
in
he's
the
not,
air.
He's not even going to another country. He's just still on the plane, and he's going to murder a whole lot of people.
Oh, God.
Save money on sets, I guess.
This guy was... that's what I find funny about Liam Neeson was he was your kind of... You know, he made Nell and Schindler's List and all these kind of heady, artistic, you know, other kind of movies. And then now he's all he's doing is making ass-kicking movies?
Oh, yeah. Well, Nell was a long time ago, my friend.
Yeah.
Many murdered terrorists ago.
Jesus Christ. I mean, I didn't... Did you ever see Taken?
No, of course I didn't.
I saw the end of Taken. As an action movie, it's a well-directed and edited action movie. I mean, like, he could be anybody. You know, he kind of lends a bit more credibility to it because he is a good actor. And I think that's a nice trend we're seeing, is that talented actors are being asked to play, you know, guys that Jason Statham would have played if nobody else, you know, was available.
Yeah, well,
or Mark Wahlberg would have done it if there was nobody else.
That's true. But so I mean, that, not everyone can do it, though. Like, no one else has had as much success as he has with it.
No. He just owns the genre now.
Yeah. It's pretty much what is. So he's in it. And he plays, he plays the good cop, bad cop Lego. Like, he has two faces.
That's great.
Yeah, it was pretty stupid. Well,
my favorite. Go ahead.
What was your favorite part?
The blue spaceship.
The
guy.
Blue spaceship. I'm the only one who liked it in the whole theater because I was, you know, I'm almost 30, and I was around when that blue Lego guy was around. So and all like the kids don't get him.
They don't know. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, I had that guy, and like he had a cracked helmet.
Yeah,
which is like I think everyone had a cracked blue helmet guy. Like
I mean, he was like the generic 1980s spaceman Lego. And he was worn out, like he'd been played with. And
there were other guys there.
Yeah.
There was like a red guy and a green guy, but no one wanted to touch them because they were stupid because blue is the best color ever.
Blue is the best color, yeah.
And so he was all worn out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the big twist that, I mean, as you figure out, and then at the end they just sort of tell you, everything's happening in this little kid's imagination. And it turns out that Lord Business is his father. And his father owns a set of Legos downstairs, and he doesn't let anybody play with them because they're all, like, expertly built.
Right.
And to the kid, it's all, like, I can take them apart and make whatever I want. And the Craggle is an old tube of crazy glue that's been worn out. So the Lego people only see it as Craggle, and the piece of resistance is the top of the crazy glue to block it off. You know, because at the end, Will Ferrell comes down. And he's like, "Oh, what are you touching my Legos for? I'm going to glue them in place so you can't change them anymore."
Yeah,
then it all makes sense. You're like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah, you're kind of like, "Oh, well, this is and then this is sort of the basic theme of people who have been into Legos for years. I mean, they've been around for you know almost 65 years at this point. You know, and like when I was growing up, I followed the instructions." That's what I did.
Right.
I bought like the big box that had the castle in it, and my father and I looked at all the instructions, and there were like 4,000 steps to this, and it was not a small feat.
No,
but for me, that was the exciting thing was can you put the thing together so it looks like it does on the box? Did you do it the way you're supposed to do it? And it was a challenge, and that was one camp, and the other camp was. Well, why bother doing that? Why not just make it on your own? Like, I had a friend growing up who, I remember I went to his house and I saw that he had, like, the even bigger castle. Like, I had, like, the...
Yeah, there was a bigger one.
I had the bullshit castle. He had the, like the one you could actually walk into. Not really. But, like, it was this huge thing. And I was like, wow, how long did that take you? And, of course, he was kind of a genius. He's like, I don't know, about a week.
Wow.
I was like, I got mine for Christmas. It's June. I'm still sitting there banging my head against the wall.
Yeah.
But I said, did you follow the instructions? And he goes, the what?
Right.
And it looked like it did on the box. It just, he didn't need the instructions because that's just how he rolled. You know, well, that's sort of the big argument is do you do that or do you be creative?
Right. And they don't really give you any like alternative in the movie. Which is no. Like whatever, because I mean that's the idea that like you can be creative if you want to. Where like I used to always follow the instructions on Legos, but you would get bored after a while and you'd want to change them. I think that's what the kid was doing. Like, he had the pirate guy who was made out of metal pieces. He had metal beard instead of black beard. And the dad just looks at, like, Will Ferrell's looking at it, like, what is this? Like, a pirate man? Or, and the kid's like, I made him better. Because he had, like, an arm was made out of a shark. And his legs were...
yeah, right. So it was a shark.
Like, his hands were... His other legs were cannons or whatever. You know, I mean, that's just how absurd the movie was.
Yeah.
You know? I mean... And they make fun of that because, like, Emmett, when he has his own ideas to build things, because he always follows the instructions, he comes up with a double-decker couch so lots of friends can watch TV, and all of the other pieces look at him like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Which, well, see, what I found funny about that was, like, I knew somebody who had a double-decker couch. In college, this guy and I both lived in the same apartment building in college, and it was one owned by the college, and so it had all this kind of generic furniture that weighed nothing. Like, the couch was made of foam and wood and nothing else.
That sounds safe.
So what he did was he went out into the common area and he stole the couch that no one sat on. And so he took that inside, and he took a couple of the crappy end tables that they would support. So they put one couch on top of these end tables, and one right. So they had stadium seating in their living room.
Ah, well, so he didn't buy this thing, is what you're saying.
No, he didn't buy it. He just he appropriated the common area furniture, and he turned it into something he could, you know, he could use in his apartment. So, like, when I saw that, I went, oh. Yeah, Blake did that. That's no big deal. Not a genius. Calm down there, Emmett.
Yeah. Well, the other Legos people. But, like, I like how that twist, you can sort of get it if you look at the clues. Like, in the beginning, they have, like, a little preamble, and then it says it cuts to 8.5 years later.
Yeah.
Which is how old the kid is.
Right.
You know, so, like, and
once you look back, you go, oh, I know. But the thing about the movie that really fucked me up was, like, he moves.
Right. There's a little blur as to whether or not the Lego guy is real or it's just all in his imagination. I mean, most of it is.
That's sort of a huge thing, is that, you know, all of a sudden Emmett wakes up and he's in the real world. He's like a
real Lego piece.
Yeah, and he can't move and he can't... But then again, he kind of wills himself to fall off the table or the desk and onto the floor so that the kid like notices that he's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and...
you know, it's a...
And I was just like, wait a minute. That's... Oh, yeah, it just threw me off, and I was sitting there like, I don't understand how this is happening.
Yeah.
And
I mean, you could say that's not really happening if you really wanted to, but it's kind of blurred a little bit.
Yeah, and I kind of felt that it would have been... The film's point would have been served just as well, if not better, by not having any of that at all.
Oh, really? I thought it was cute like that.
It was cute, but it wasn't necessary.
I don't know.
I mean, like, just the whole concept of, like, there. It's like Toy Story. There's a world of you know...
Yeah, but there's people in it in Toy Story. I mean, they're computerized, but they're supposed to be real to the toys.
Right. And that was, you know... The point of Toy Story was that they existed in the same world as the human people, but they also had a world in and of themselves where they had their own rules about how to do things and how to behave and that kind of stuff. And you could just put the whole movie in the world of the Lego people and have the same argument about, you know, because the Master Builders thing was cool.
Yeah.
You know, like the whole visual thing where they could look around and they saw the different pieces and they... You know, would like do the math in their head and go, I could put this, and this together, and then make a rocket ship or a cool.
Yeah, all the non-generic pieces could build out on their own. They didn't have to follow instructions and
exactly, and that was really really neat. And then it just I don't know, it kind of gets lost in the whole.
Well, I mean,
again, it's a kid's movie. You know? I'm totally overthinking this.
Well, that's the whole point of this. But I mean, like without having the kid and the dad in there, it's not really grounded. And you're just kind of like, why are these Lego pieces like... Because the movie starts to fly off the rails. I mean, it really gets way out of hand. I mean, all the action scenes are ridiculous. And the plot keeps going and going. And you're like, wow, this is like... What is this really out there? It gets silly.
Yeah,
and it brings it back, and you're like, all right, there's something at stake here. Because at the end, the dad agrees, well, all right, we won't use the glue, and I'll play with my son. Like, the idea was that the guy was always working so much, he didn't play with the kid.
Yeah.
You know, it brings it back, and you kind of get the whole point of why these Legos are fighting so hard for creativity or whatever.
Yeah, I guess I was just thrown by the fact that Emmett is self-aware, and that's as a sci-fi enthusiast, I'm sort of like, well, you're breaking a couple of rules here by doing that.
Yeah, for like a brief moment, the movie kind of wants to have it both ways, but it's not long. It doesn't last long.
No, it's not. I guess this is better than if you kind of zoomed out and just like in Saint Elsewhere.
Oh,
where
yeah.
you zoom out and you realize what you're watching isn't what you're watching, and it feels kind of cheap and stupid.
Right.
They went far enough with the story that they avoided that problem.
Right. Because it's not a dream. It's like
it's not.
This is the kid's wishes, and you know, this is what he wants, and he's just expressing it through Legos.
Right.
You know. And meanwhile, the jokes are funny. Like, they have little gags. You know, like when he's talking to Elizabeth Banks' character, she's supposed to be like this super cool ninja girl. She's like, my name is Wild Style. And he like looks at her. He's like, that's your name? What are you, are you a DJ? She's like, no, that's my name. He goes, is it on your birth certificate? Like, and they're like in the middle of the street in a car chase. And he's like grilling her about her name. You
know? That was, I think, the best part of the movie was the writing for the... The incidental dialogue was all just hysterical.
Yeah. Well, I liked a lot of the visual gags were cute, too. Like when they go to the old Western town. And he's like, he's like, where are we? And it's like Old West and Lego writing above their heads. Like it's like the intro to the world. And it still hangs there in the background. Like walk away and it's still hanging in midair. And he like looks back at it like, what is that doing? You know? Yeah, and all the Lego horses, they'll look like Lego horses. And they make, Lego horse noises.
and they had to sit there on them funny.
Yeah, it was cute, you know?
I love Middle Zealand, too. That
Middle Zealand. Yeah. I mean, a lot of those gags were quick. Like...
Oh, they were incredibly fast. Yeah. Like a kid watching that would never have a clue.
No. I almost want to see it again to catch all the little references, you know?
Yeah. There were thousands of them, and I'm just like, this is happening way too quickly.
Yeah. I like the little gag where Wild Style's on a TV monitor, and she's broadcasting everywhere. But Middle Zealand doesn't have a TV. So she's giving this speech, and you see it in different places. And like, there's a knight with a scroll on a horse, and he's reading the speech. Like, hear ye, because there's no TV there. I think I laughed out loud. And I'm the only one in the theater who laughed at that.
It's really subtle. It was very, very fast.
Yeah. And they had an anthem in that movie, too.
Oh,
which was incredibly
Everything is awesome
was the name of this. Oh, it was really annoying. I mean, it was catchy, but like annoyingly catchy.
I walked past a poster for it at a bus stop yesterday, and I just started singing it.
If you wait long enough in the credits, they play like an acoustic version. I looked at my girlfriend like, all right, we got to go.
That's funny.
We've been here too long.
I really had to blow my nose when I went there, so I was like, I got to leave this theater right now. My face is gonna fall off. So,
but yeah, no, it was cute, and they're already making a sequel. There'll be one of those.
Oh God, yeah.
It'll be
a dozen. But
I thought. I think it was way better than it should have been.
Yes, that's true.
I really thought it would be like a disaster of a movie.
Could have gone either way there for a while. I was like, I don't know how this is gonna be, but it was an enjoyable, hour and a half.
It wasn't just a long toy commercial. I mean, obviously, everybody's like, let's go buy Legos now, and that's true, but, you know, if you're a little kid, Legos are undeniably appealing. So,
yeah.
I mean, I still have Legos. They're downstairs in the basement.
Yeah.
But I wish they had more multicolored Legos. You know how, you're a little kid, you don't have enough pieces, so you just throw any other piece on there, and then your castle looks like multicolored.
A bit rainbow.
Well, you can buy pieces separately now at the Lego store, which you couldn't.
Yes, you can. Yeah, that to me is great.
Yeah, you couldn't do that back then.
You can buy so many. They just buckets of them. Like, what do you need?
Yeah,
you know, it's just it's hilarious.
You used to have to buy them in a set, and you don't have to do that anymore.
No, it's like crack now. You go in there, I got what you need.
Yeah. Well, they always have like the biggest Lego display. That's like Death Star Star Wars type thing. You're like, oh, I want that. That's $400.
Oh, God.
I don't want that. I'll take a keychain. Yeah.
The Death Star was on the Big Bang Theory once.
Yeah, that was funny.
And at the end, like the end car, they like at the end of each episode, they have like a, you know, like a little card, and where it's the producer saying something, and he actually says thank you for our interns for putting together the Lego Death Star, because you know they just walked them into the green room and dumped it on the floor and went, you have a half an hour,
yeah,
put this thing together. Right now
it was on screen for 2 seconds.
Oh yeah, 2 seconds worth of screen time.
Better part of a month to put together.
It's 4 o'clock in the morning, they're on 9 cups of coffee.
They're getting paid in more Lego pieces.
When we're done, you can keep it. Fuck you!
Yeah, you can each have one piece. Because you're not getting paid in money.
But, all right, well, I don't think Christian Bale is coming. Is there anything else you saw lately that's worth mentioning?
I saw the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer.
I did see that, too.
Oof.
I don't know. People are telling me, well, if you don't know what this is about, you're not going to get it. Well, then that's the wrong kind of movie to make.
Well, I think that's why the trailer was just all expository for the character. This is the character. This is what he calls himself. And this is what this guy calls himself. And yeah. I guess it's supposed to be like a comedy action movie.
Because those always work out well.
I am like shocked at how many people are excited for it.
Yeah, a large number of people very, very jazzed about this. Yeah, no idea why.
I don't know anyone who, like, I'm not saying it's going to be bad or good. I just don't know. I mean, it looks kind of weird. It's just weird. It's weird. Yeah. And there's a reason some things work better as a comic book. I mean, yeah. A raccoon with a rocket launcher looks good on paper. But in real life, it looks fucking weird. Like, why is that? Is that thing real?
That's an odd sentence to say out loud.
Yeah. I mean, just saying out loud, you're like, I don't know if people are going to want to see this. But, I mean, I guess if we'll swallow anything now. We'll watch movies about Lego characters.
Well, I saw the Monuments Men.
Oh, I heard that sucked.
It did.
Unless you're the guy from Rolling Stone.
Oh, he loved it?
Oh, he gives regular blowjobs to George Clooney, don't you know?
Oh,
they have like a schedule. Yeah, yeah. It's time for your 4 a.m. knob polishing.
I mean, what was kind of sad about it was that there was... the story itself is really interesting. I mean, in the movie, they made it out to be like George Clooney's character had this idea, let's go in there and save all the art, when in fact there were 400 people employed by the U.S. Armed Forces to do just that.
Oh.
And they made it look like it was just him and this kind of, you know, ragtag band of dragooned art appraisers and such. I mean, this is another case, and we've talked about this before, of a story that would have been far better served as like an HBO miniseries.
Oh, because, yeah, yeah.
Because what happens, you know, is, you know, Clooney's character gets together with Matt Damon and goes, let's go save all the art. And he goes, okay. And so who do we get? We only get this guy and this guy and this guy. It's like, you know, it's Bill Murray, who's 70 years old, and John Goodman, who's 4,000 pounds, and people who don't belong in the military, and so, but they have to go through basic to get shipped over to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
That's a story in and of itself, and they did that in 6 minutes of the movie.
Wow.
And then once they're there, they split up into two-man teams, and they each have their own little adventures with Nazis, and some of them are serious, and some people die. You know, it isn't like they all walk out of there okay.
Huh.
But I mean, most of the action of the film is, it's so short that you never feel any tension.
Yeah.
Like, scenes that involve, like, some semblance of, like, uh-oh, are they going to get out of it? The thing gets cleared up pretty quick.
Right. Well, if you're moving around with so many people, you got to hurry up.
Yeah, and so you never spend enough time with enough people to really get a sense of danger. Even when people are dying, it doesn't feel like that things are getting paid off. And it's sad. Mm-hmm. You know, the two dying scenes are definitely sad, but I never felt like the other guy was going to die, too. It was just that this guy got shit, you know, got shit luck, and then he didn't make it. Yeah. And, I mean, there was really good acting in it, and that's kind of what was so sad about this, about the movie being so bad, was that there was a lot of good acting in it. The story is interesting. It just, you can't tell this huge a story in 2 hours. It's just,
right.
You know, like there was one scene that kind of tied everything together. You meet this SS officer in the beginning who's helping steal all the art out of France to give it to, I think, Goering or Goebbels or, I don't know, one of the fat one.
Only with a G.
Yeah.
The fat one. I remember him.
Yeah, it was, well, there was fat and skinny. There was Hitler, and they had two sort of right hand men, and one of them was fat, one of them was skinny. It was the fat one. So the SS officer was taking them out of France, and that's where you meet Kate Blanchett's character, and she's the museum's curator type person, and she's actually keeping records of everything.
Yeah.
And she marks where everything is going. And so when they, very early on, this guy, it's at the end of the war, so they liberate France, and he hightails it back to Germany, and the Kate Blanchett character won't help Matt Damon because she thinks he's going to steal the art for himself. She's afraid that the Allies are as bad as the Germans, so she won't help anybody. And then all of a sudden, John Goodman and the other guy, I can't think of his name, are in Germany, and they're asking around, do you know where this is, where that is? And they find this dentist who goes, oh, my nephew is a big art buff, and he used to work in Paris. He was just a soldier, though. He was not in the SS.
So here.
So they go to this guy's house, and it's just filled with art.
Mm.
Like, it's hilarious. It's kind of so over the top. Like, there's a Monet over here and a Degas over there. And they're sitting there. It's like, where'd you get all these pieces? And the guy goes, oh, no, they're all copies. I'm just a big fan, blah, blah, blah. And the one guy goes, did you ever hear of a guy named Rothschild? And he's like, no, why? He's like, big collector, had the biggest private art collection in the world, and he was Jewish. Mm. And he goes, oh, never heard of him. He goes, then why is his name on the back of all these paintings? And it was this great scene. But, and it kind of tied everything together, but it just wasn't enough. And they just walk up and, arrest that guy and take him back to the POW camp.
Mm.
And that was it. Yeah. It's like, okay.
Well, that's the reason they released these things in February.
Yeah, it was advertised so well as being like a really, good World War II movie. I'm like, no, this is no.
Hey, some people have good trailers that, good editing can do a lot for you.
Yeah, beware of movies that advertise themselves with interviews. I've noticed
interviews.
I saw trailers for this, and then I also saw before the movies. In the past few months, I would see a commercial for this movie that featured interviews of the actors.
Ah, weird.
And that's sort of like the telltale sign that this is not going to be any good. Like anything that James Cameron makes, features a 10-minute interview. Like that's the fucking trailer. They don't show you the movie. They show you Jim Cameron talking about the movie.
Yeah.
And about why he's so impressive and why, everything should be
so great.
Everything should be in 3D now.
God, and I'm no. Like, things should not be in 3D.
Just show me some clips of the film, That's what I want to see. Get me jazzed about it that way, Jim.
Jim. That's a great trailer for 22 Jump Street, the sequel of the first 21 Jump Street with Jonah Hill.
Really?
And the guys who wrote that, to bring it back, wrote the Lego movie. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you haven't seen 21 Jump Street, man, it's funny. It's a funny movie.
Yeah, because you said that was good. I missed it because I was just so appalled they made that into a comedy.
Yeah, and you're like, there's no way this could be any good. But if you just watch it with somebody, it's funnier than that has any right to be, too. So I was like, oh, my God, they're making another one of those. And the trailer is the same thing. Like the guy said, we didn't expect 21 Jump Street reboot to be any good. And it was a big hit. And since the church, the church got bought by the Koreans that actually owned it, now we're moving you across the street to 22 Jump Street. And it's all like an in-joke about how it's a stupid reboot.
Ugh, hysterical.
Yeah, so I add that to the list of movies you should see.
Yes.
I wonder what Kristen Bell would think about it. But
I do. I wonder. But I don't think we're going to find out. I don't think she's showing up.
Yeah, she's probably mad we didn't talk about Star Trek.
Yeah.
Could you have had me on one more week? 1 week earlier to talk about Star Trek? Sorry, yeah. Kristen.
Yeah, well, we do what we can. All right, well, my afrin is wearing off, so I'm no longer able to breathe through my nose.
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah, I gotta go. I'm going to get addicted to that stuff, I swear to God.
Afrin. Afrin. Winky face.
Emoticon winky face.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, we're sorry we couldn't get Kristen Bell. We really apologize to those of you who were really hoping to have Kristen Bell.
Yeah.
I'm sure there were many of you who were jazzed about the idea, and we were jazzed about it too, but I don't think it's going to happen,
folks.
We'll
put it on the website that she doesn't actually appear to avoid any confusion.
Yes, just to, you know.
Just to clarify those things.
For those of you in Australia who are listening, well, and who are big Kristen Bell fans, we're really sorry, but maybe next time. So, yeah. All right.
When the Veronica Mars movie actually comes out.
Yeah, we can talk about that. Try and get it back for that.
Sure.
That sounds like a plan. All right. Anything else you want to add?
No, that's it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. As always, please drink responsibly. We hope you've enjoyed our conversations about Frozen and the Lego Movie, two big blockbuster animated films for 2014. Off to a good animated film start for the year, I guess you could say.
Yeah, both very good. If you catch them while you still can, if they're still out there.
I think Frozen will be there for another 2 months.
Yeah, so really.
You can probably.
That's true.
Yeah. So. Okay, guys. Thanks for tuning in. And
drink responsibly.
Bye. Drink responsibly, as always. Thanks for having me.